Bring greetings to you in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful to be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and grace. Lord, help us be faithful to you, Lord, and faithful to your word. Again, we just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading, I think, this morning. Just in fact, start in 14. We'll begin 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and other who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end both Christ died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy him not with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things hath serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached me fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Okay, let's stop right there, I think. Now let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love. By love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay, we'll stop there. Going back, we'll probably use a little going back and forth here. There's two pictures here that are painted. There's two kinds of self. Two kinds of self. Of the one, there's the self-destructive. There's people who live lives of self-destruction. The first part of these verses in Galatians talk with that, about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, looseness. People who are involved in the wicked sins of the age, the drugs, the drinking, having a good time. Those are self-destructive behaviors. They all know that. They all sing about that. They call it living in the fast lane. And they know that their time is short, so they live it up and try to pack everything that they can into their life as fast as they can. Everything, all the time, would be a motto that they would have. Everything, all the time. That's a self-destructive life, and that's the life that everybody in churchdom and criticizes and condemns. And then you have the self-preserving life. Here's a life where you're looking out to preserve yourself so that you can live as long as you can on the earth. So that you could preserve your life at whatever cost. That you can, and many times the people that are living in this self-preserving mode are looking at those living in the self-destructive mode and condemning them fiercely. They eat all the right things. They live in safe places. They do things to preserve their life as long as they can and despise those who would live the self-destructive life. They would guard carefully what they eat, and there's nothing wrong with being a little careful or a little cautious with what we eat. But they would condemn others that wouldn't be. And if you look at these, Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh, you have hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Get a dictionary out and look up those words. Those are things that happen in religion all the time, and they're perfectly acceptable. And a lot of times they go along with the self-preserving lifestyle. You see, because the self-destructive life and the self-preserving life are concerned about one thing. And it's the same thing. Care to give a stab at what that might be? Self. Self. See, there's a lot of religious people that live a lot different than the self-destructive. In fact, they live just exactly opposite of the self-destructive life. They live a self-preserving life. And in reality, both of those are exactly the same thing. They're concerned about one person, and that's self. Jesus taught that we're to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and die. The self-denying life is not self-preserving. It's not wrapped up. It's not all caught up in seeing how long I can live. It's not all caught up in being so careful about everything that I do to protect my life. It's not so caught up in sheltering myself from everything around me. It's about losing ourselves. We can't hide from this world. If we try to hide from this world, we have nothing to offer this world. If we're trying to hide and preserve our life in this world, we have nothing to give the world. If we can't let our light shine where we're at, we have no light at all. If our light has to be tucked away or hid somewhere where no one can get to us, nothing can harm us, and we live all by ourselves, we make sure we only work at specific places that are already approved, and won't let our light shine, we have no light to offer at all. It's not, the kingdom of God is not in food and drink. The kingdom of God is not in don't do this, don't do that. The kingdom of God is denying ourselves. Bearing one another's burdens. Whenever we think about the cross, whenever we think of bearing something, we think about the cross. Because Jesus bore His cross. Whenever He bore His cross, what was it that He bore? What did He carry on the cross? He carried on the cross the weight of sin. He carried on the cross the reproach of sin. He carried on the cross the shame that went with sin. He carried on the cross offensiveness to God. And He was willing to align Himself with that reproach that went with the cross. His concern wasn't with the appearance of how it would appear to people by Him bearing a cross. He wasn't trying to impress people by bearing the cross. Just the opposite was happening. He was being associated with a criminal. He is being associated with a murderer. He is being associated with those who were despised and rejected and thought little of. The Bible says that He bore His cross without the gate. He died without the gate. Let us therefore go without the gate, bearing His reproach. In other words, sometimes there were some people that we associate ourselves with that might not appear to be real, really devoted to the Lord. They might not see everything like we see it. They might not see everything eye to eye like we see it. The Bible says here, in Romans, chapter 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. What does that imply? What does that imply? Everybody is not going to be where I'm at in my Christian life. Everybody's not going to be where I expect them to be. If they were where I expected them to be, why would I have to bear with them? Why would I have to put up with them? Why didn't it say, if anybody isn't where we expect them to be, cut them off? Get rid of them. Because when Jesus bore the cross, He bore someone else's lack of reaching the expectation. Because of the cross, because of sin, we failed God's expectations. And we became servants of Satan. We were lost. And it separated ourselves from God. Jesus, willing to bear that reproach, to associate Himself and to bear the reproach of sin, bore the cross. Not because we were meeting His expectations, but because He had to, or willingly chose to, because we weren't. What's the message that gives to Christians? I don't know how many times I've saw it happen. People come along and they maybe not see something for years. Then all of a sudden they get it. And then immediately, anybody who doesn't get it is not a Christian. Maybe they don't see something. And then they learn something along the way. And immediately, anybody who hadn't learned that lesson already, we don't have anything to do with anymore. Is that bearing one another's burdens? Is that being strong? Is that bearing infirmities? What does infirmities mean? Weaknesses, sicknesses. If we shoot our wounded, what good are we? That's one thing that I have learned to hate about withholding the greeting, as some people do. Whenever someone needs encouragement or needs help, we shun them. Is that Christ? or Antichrist. If we can't bear one another's burdens, and anybody below us can't go to heaven, there's an idea that there's probably somebody higher than we are. And what if they take the same position? Where are we at then? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. You know, sometimes we I hope that all of us are hoping that everyone would be growing and prospering in the Lord. But there's times some of us don't. Sometimes we go through some hard times. Is that time to get kicked to the curb? Or is that time we need support and help? In Romans 14 it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. There is a faith. And as long as someone is living in that faith, we have no right or no business to put them out of that faith or offend them. Him that is weak in the faith, put out of the faith. Is that what it says? No, it says receive them. Him that is weak in the faith but doesn't live up to my expectations, throw him out. No, it says receive them. Now, if they're not following the faith, they're not doing what's right, and they fall into sin, that needs to be dealt with. But just because they ain't on the mountaintop and shining bright as the sun, doesn't mean we throw them out. What happens is, and I've saw this happen over and over and experienced it somewhat. People first begin looking around them. They begin to see other people who aren't faithful. And they begin to separate themselves away. And they separate, and they separate, and they separate. And then they get down to two or three. And I'm not talking about where there is no faith. I'm not talking about where there is no desire to follow the Lord. We're to come out from this world. We're to come out from its false denominations and its false teachings. We're to come out from all of those things. But I'm talking about people who are trying to live faithful and wanting to and willing to. But they begin to exalt themselves and see, well, they're not living up to what I expect. And so they begin to isolate themselves. And one by one, they trim off everybody that isn't just like them. And the next thing you know it, they are absolutely all by themselves. And then you know what happens? They begin to doubt themselves. And pretty soon they're gone. Saw it happen over and over and over again. There's a time to deal with people. There's a time to separate yourself. But if it's over some of these little things, the Bible calls what you eat. Which day you worship. Which day you set aside. That's just a couple of examples. If I begin to separate myself because of those things, it won't be long till I can't even live with myself. This country is full of little pockets of people that call themselves misfits. They don't fit in with anybody. And so they wind up being all by themselves because they can't get along with anybody. It's hard to love one another when you're all by yourself. Many times, the condemnation that's brought, you don't have to examine very far. Find that same condemnation is the thing they're guilty of themselves. There's a faith to be defended, and there's plenty of areas it needs defended in. And when people quit defending it, they start fighting one with another and get nitpicking. That doesn't mean that we can't correct each other and help each other. We should. In fact, we invite it. We want to be corrected. We want to do what's right. But take heed to yourself. Because it will come back. It will come back. God is not mocked. What we sow, we will reap. And in what manner we judge, we will be judged again. We've explained this several times. We're not talking about what's right and wrong. But whenever we get a magnifying glass out, start examining our brother, you better get ready for the magnifying glass to be twisted around. Because it will be. Jesus said, if your brother falls 7 times, Peter said, Lord, my brother falls 7 times in a day, shall I forgive him? How many times did Jesus say to forgive him? 7. We'd all love to have the perfect little congregation where nobody did anything wrong and every one of us was just seeking the Lord with all of our hearts, mind, and soul. We all were selfless and we all just didn't care anything about what myself, just living and serving others. That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? Why did Jesus say we were to, or the Bible say that we were to bear each other's burdens? Why did he say to put up with the weak? Why did he say to forgive our brother? Why did he say all those things? Because he knew that's the way it is. And if we can't protect ourselves, and if we can't live above someone else being weak, who's the weak one? If we can't protect ourselves above someone weaker than I, who is the weak one? Does that make us a partaker of his weakness? Only if we despise him. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him. At whose will? Think you can stand all by yourself? Who are taken captive by Him at His will. Lord wants people that will deny themselves, take up, bear each other's infirmities. Whenever you run off and hide from problems of people and you seclude yourself to where you don't have to deal with anybody, you've left your cross. It's not a cross to have no problems. Go off somewhere and hide and be by yourself. But if you're in a church and there's people that have problems, you want to know a burden? You want to know a cross? Find a brother. Carry him a while. You'll learn to cross. Run out of patience. Get tired of dealing with problems. Cut your brother off. Cut your cross off. Get rid of them. Be patient. The Lord add His blessings.